Fine. So, as I wanted to just finish about kashering before we get into the other topic of products and stuff like that. So, one thing we didn't get to is the counters. So we're talking about the sinks, and then we're talking about the counters. So counters which are made out of a material that you cannot kasher, like plastic, we don't kasher for mica and stuff like that. So then you have to just cover it. Some have a minig that they pour hot water to kasher the counter and then cover it just in case something rips or breaks or whatever.
Learn that.
Yeah, so that's a pretty common. That's a pretty common minug. But that's if it's not kasherable. If it's a stone, like granite or what's the other one they do? Quartz or what's the other thing they use? What?
I think,
other thing.
Shish.
Yeah, other things that they use. So here it depends. There's a couple of opinions about this. Marble and stuff like that. So if it's pure stone, it's not glazed or anything like that, so technically speaking, one would be able to kasher it because,
It's porous.
It's porous, and therefore it accepts flavor and it can take out the flavor. Now, if you want to test if it's porous, pour grape juice in one spot and you'll see if you did it get stained or didn't get stained. Wow. So a lot of it which is glazed doesn't have this problem. So now, it won't get stained, and that's why they glaze it. But for kashering, if it's glazed, seems to be more of a complicated svar, because if it's glazed, it means it's glass or plastic or Teflon or some sort of material glazing it. Those materials are not kasherable. So therefore, if it's glazed stone, it may be a problem because you can't kasher the surface area. That's number one. Number two is, even if it is a stone that's technically kasherable, still you have to be very careful about two things. One thing is that it has to be perfectly clean when you kasher it. Perfectly clean means that you can't have any dirt or residue or anything left over in any of the spots. You know, now if you have a light colored stone, then it may be easier. You see dirt and stuff like that. If you have a dark colored stone, which is, you know, we have that, and part of the reason for that gufa is to cover up for the dirt, right? So therefore, if you have such a thing, then you got to be very careful. You got to feel it over. Feel it and make sure it's smooth and make sure it's not dirty and all this type of stuff to make sure that it's really not a problem. That's number one. Number two is the method of how you kasher. So it seems like the minhag olam is that you pour water, hot water, over the counter, which is okay. You could do that. The thing is you have to make sure that you're hitting every spot, like we said with the sink. Now it's easier than the sink. The sink, because there's this, the sides and the angles and this, how you're pouring the water this way and that way. But this, the counter is more of a, you know, it's a straight place. And the black splash may be a little challenging. You know, you want to get the back of the counter also, because pots often will hit the back and stuff like that. But theoretically speaking, if you pour slowly and you hit every spot, then you could kasher it that way. There is a chumrah.
Stone.
What?
Stone.
Right. There is a chumrah that to use an evan melubon, which means that you use a hot stone, and that way the water retains the heat. The water retains the heat as it's hitting the counter. It retains the heat from the boiling hot stone that's there as well. So you take like a brick, you make it boiling hot, and then you pour the water on the counter, and then and you put the brick to the water so that as it's being poured, the brick is there to retain the heat of the water. So it's even hotter than just coming straight from a boiling hot pot. So that, now, when you're doing this, by the way, you cannot pour from a ladle. You can't have a boiling hot pot, take a ladle, and then pour from the ladle. You gotta actually pour from the pot or the kettle or whatever, right. So, you know, some people want to use a kettle, which is good because the kettle is easier to handle the water as opposed to a pot. You're going to start, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
It's a lot of fun.
Right. So now the latest shtick is, because the ladle is a cliché-y. So those, right, because you need to kashen the whey on the same level as the heat which may have gone in there. So there may have been a time that chametz went in directly from the pot. So by you pouring from something which is not directly the pot, it's indirectly from the pot. So you're lowering it down one level, so it may not be able to be as powerful as the flavor that went in. Okay. So that's the story with the pots. Okay. Now, good.
The iron.
So the iron, the shtick is what they do is that they pour the hot water. They pour people lately. You could put cold water down on the counter, wet the whole counter with cold water. Then you take an iron, and you plug in the iron, and the iron, if you put it on the water, it boils the water, because that's what an iron is, a boiling hot piece of metal, and you put it down right by the water. I don't know if you want to put it laid directly, literally down on the counter, because, you know, you may really iron out your counter. It may get really flat. But what?
That's the idea. That's the whole reason you can't kosher like earthenware is because you're afraid of breaking it. So if you're not willing to put the iron down.
No, but that's only for it's a svar by libun that. It's not a svar by agala. But the point is, if you can put the iron down and touch the water with it, and the water will boil on the counter, so then you have all the, according to everybody, the most chomer d'kashita, you kashered your counter, because then it boils the water on the counter itself. So that's what you gain by doing it in that method.
Oh. The towel, with towel. Then the iron on the towel.
Yes, so Rabbi, what I heard last year is that Rabbi Janowski, or you're saying you heard also, is that you put a wet towel on the counter, and then you put the iron on the towel. So essentially what happens is that the water inside the towel starts boiling up, and then it hits the counter. But I'm not sure exactly how that works. So, it could be you could do that, but you have to find out exactly how to do that. Okay? So I think with that, we pretty much covered our bases. We did the sinks, we did the stoves, we did the ovens, we did the top of the oven. I mentioned the backsplash should be covered or kashered also, because the pots, you know, tend to go back there, so it's not enough to just count the counters. And in terms of dishes and that, we had a kasher exactly. We're not going to get into it. It's a lot of detail, but if you have any questions, we could discuss. What? We're better. Yeah, you should get a new urn for Pesach. Yeah. Because the urn... Well, the problem is the plastic spout can't kosher. And very... Yeah, I would say very likely. Yeah, I would say very likely that particular spout probably touched a cup that was, you know, that was oatmeal. I used the water for oatmeal. I poured directly oatmeal there and stuff like that. Yeah, definitely I would suggest getting a new urn.
What about like the hot water?
Yeah, instant hot? Yeah, I wouldn't use an instant hot on Pesach. Yeah, I wouldn't use that. Anything like that, even the cold water, you gotta clean it very properly. And
water in a bowl that was clean, just to heat on my dog. Milk in a bottle. So we use the sheet here to cool our shadows.
Not so excited about it.
No?
For example, Yeah, for example, let's say a piece of chametz touched the outside. The outside is hot to the touch, no? So let's say a piece of chametz touched it from the outside. So now there's bleeds of chametz. Yeah, but it's a thin thing, and the water, there's water on the inside, and it depends if it touched it below the water level or on top of the water level. Or let's say something splashed out of the kli.
When I wash the thing, I wash it with sponges, so I can't even get out of that. Unless you kasher inside,
I boil it. Yeah, kasher inside, if it really reaches a boil, if it reaches 212, then you can kasher it that way, yeah. If you're just saying that you never used the spout for anything and you just boiled it up, then probably you could kasher it that way. Okay, now let's get into any other questions about specific items or whatever.
Theoretically, but don't svardim have a different with the dishwasher? It's a svardim have a different way of looking at.
I don't even have dishwashers, so I don't know. I know. I don't know.
What do you mean?
I don't even have this. I mean, I don't use this one.
What, during the year, even?
Yeah. I wouldn't even know what to do. I was told that you can't kosher.
Yeah, usually the general thing, unless you're in a commercial place or whatever. In a commercial place, they probably kosher the dishwashers, I'm assuming.
But not in a
steam. It's plastic. When you put the plates, the plastic sinks. You steam it, then you rent it for 24 hours, you rent it with the bleach. The red machine will not rent for 24 hours.
Right. So commercial kitchens, they do that. But at home, I don't think that people usually kosher dishwashers. What?
I don't know. Yeah.
I think at home. Commercials, whatever. But. Generally not. The difference between Sfardim and Ashkenazim is like obviously glass. There is a big difference. Obviously that. The Sfardim called it. You could kasher glass. You don't even need to kasher glass.
The glass you can use. We use the same glasses for milk and kosher.
Right.
We don't have to. There's no difference.
Right, but Ashkenazim fakir. Not only for Pesach at least. Not only is it not, it's Berleia. You can't even kasher it. So
is that din for Sfardim the same for Pesach as is for Melchizedek?
Yes, it's actually in Hilchos Pesach.
Yeah, we can use the same.
It's in Tufnun Beis. It's in Tufnun Aleph. That machaber that says that glass is not Berleia is in Tufnun Aleph in Hilchos Pesach.
But since I went to Ashkenazim, she lost my wife. And the fact that I want to know it's Pesach, I happen to want to know the glass for Pesach.
Yeah.
But I use it both
for theoretically, they can use glass dishes the whole year for everything.
We can use it for
Pesach and milk and some places.
Is it the same for plastic as well as glass?
No. Ramosha says plastic could be like charis. We don't know what it is.
Uh-huh.
So charis is boileh, not polaris. Yeah. It's got to be porous. I mean, you pour your grape juice on there, it turns purple, right? Generally. Anyway, okay. Let's go into the beloved question of creams, medications, vitamins, other products, and stuff like that. And everyone always wants to know.
Let me go get my booming.
Yeah. What's the halacha of these items? Okay. So now, l'chaira, one would start off the conversation saying, if they have chametz ingredients, it's a problem. You're not allowed to benefit from chametz on Pesach, and chametz is not bottled necessarily on Pesach. Now, if it was produced before Pesach, maybe chametz is bottled, but whatever. But l'maisa, we don't necessarily know if there's 60 times it. And therefore, anytime that you have an ingredient, usually the minimum ingredient, you know, is 2-3% of something, it's already not going to be 60 times. And therefore, if there's a chametz ingredient in something, everything should be a problem. You're not allowed to benefit from chametz. So where does the discussion go from there? Because the assumption is that any product that has in it chametz, the chametz is already nifsal me'achilas kelev. And that even though it's not edible, but by Pesach we don't go by edibility, we go by nifsal me'achilas kelev. It has to be even not edible to a dog. But the assumption is that most products, you know, you're gonna take a moisturizing cream, like a face cream, any of these things, l'chara, the chametz ingredient is totally not edible. It's nifsal me'achilas kalev. So once it's nifsal me'achilas kalev, so now fakir, now it's mutter l'gamri.
It's not edible because you can't separate it.
No. It's not the way it is. The way it is.
Right. What if that's flavor?
Okay, so one second. So this is the. What? But if it's nifsal me'achilas kalev, you're allowed to have enough. Yeah. Okay? Now, therefore, if you go with this theory that everything is nifsal me'achilas kalev, so all the items pretty much are nifsal, shampoo, soap, detergents, all this stuff is nifsal me'achilas kalev. And once it's nifsal me'achilas kalev, you should be allowed to eat it and it should be no problem. And that is, according to this opinion, you guys, we would have early dismissal because basically there's nothing to discuss. That's it. The shiur will be over. Not exactly. We still have what to discuss. But therefore, according to this opinion, it would seem to be okay. Now, the CRC in Chicago recently put out a letter, their version of the Starkey or Blumenkrantz book is a one-page letter saying everything's mutter, pretty much.
That's easy.
Everything for medications.
Yeah.
And creams?
I think so, yeah.
That sounds good.
So now, we'll see. Right now, like this. Now, I'll point out that even according to the CRC, this I'm calling it CRC, I didn't read the letter, so I shouldn't really say. But according to this opinion, we do have to point out two things. One is that perfumes and other products which have in them what's a denatured alcohol or whatever, right? What's it called? So since that alcohol, even though the way it is in the product is nifsal, it may be called nifsal me'achilas kalev, but still, since you could separate, you know, through some, there's two, a lot of places are machmer on that, because first of all, someone that's a real alcoholic, desperate enough. If the slip of it is not doing the trick, he may take down the perfume. You know, it's good. You know, it's a high percentage. After I gave this cheer last year, someone told me that they had their boss. One time they were skiing with their boss or something like that, and before he went down one of the deep things, he like popped one of these colognes and stuff because he wanted to really keep warm. So
I thought it was poisonous.
What?
I thought it would be poisonous.
I'm not saying you should try it at home, but anyway, this is the story I heard, and also, you could separate out the alcohol maybe from the rest of the mixture, and therefore, a lot of shitas hold that even according to this opinion, the perfumes and stuff that has real denatured alcohol, you know, that stuff should be avoided, and not only it should be sold with the chametz. So perfumes, colognes, liquid stuff like that the alcohol is really still in its state, you know, that's a problem. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But that you have to look on lists to see what's acceptable, not even according to the CRC, quote, CNC opinion. The other thing is that there is a halach in Shulchan Aruch quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Taf Mem Beis. The Mishnah Berurah says that even food, chametz, which is nifsal me'achilas kelev, if you eat it, it's a problem because it's called achsheveh. Achshavei is a concept, which means that even though it's not roi lachila, apparently you feel it is, because you're eating it, right? So therefore, since you hold it is roi lachila, the fact that it's not roi lachila's kelev does not protect you. So you essentially shot yourself in the foot by eating it, because now you are achshavei and you gave it a shame oichel. You gave it a shame oichel by eating it, And therefore, it's a problem. Therefore, it says like this. Anything which you're giving it a certain chashivas by eating it, it could be a problem. So, medication. Okay? Medication, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, is not called ach shevei. Even though you're eating it, it's not called ach shevei. Why not? So Rav Moshe says that medication is not called ach shevei because since I'm sick, I would take anything to make myself better. It's not a proof that I'm making it into a food. Right? The whole svar of ach shevei is, if this hot dog really was that bad, because you doused it with bleach, and then all of a sudden you're having it for supper, obviously to you, you don't mind that type of hot dog, right? So therefore, you're eating it. But if you're taking it as medication, so then it's not a rye that I hold that it's a food. I need to get better, so I'm taking this thing, right? So therefore, Moshe says there's no ach shevei in medication. Number one. However,
is there a way to make something ach shevei is by eating it?
Yeah.
No, just like
benefiting from it is not called ach shevei. So Mishnah Berurah writes that explicitly.
Why is that?
Because you're not showing me necessarily that it's a food. Very often someone could benefit from a non-food item as well. So therefore, by you benefiting from it, it's not showing that it's not roi l'achilas kelef. That it is roi l'achila. Maybe, right? We're trying to say that you proved that really the status of this thing is that it is edible. You have no proof that it's edible just because you benefited from it. You only have a proof that it's edible if you ate it. That's the point. So now, medication, there's no achshavei medication. There's only zakta moisha. However, vitamins or nutritional supplements could be different. Because you're not taking it as medication. You're really trying to get the calcium and the other things that really the food should be giving you. Instead of taking it as food, you're taking it as a vitamin. So therefore, you could argue that really you are making an achshavei by the vitamin. Because vitamin and other supplements, really, you are treating it basically like a food. It's giving to your body whatever food is supposed to give to your body. So therefore, it's not mamish like a medication. So there's a much, and by vitamins, there's a bigger machloikis. There's a machloikis if that's called ach shevei or not. Okay? So vitamins, that's why a lot of people are makpid to get kosher vitamins in general during the year. You know, the kosher vitamins, because you know, a medication, maybe you're not so machmer, but on vitamins, you know, there's more of a svar of an ach shevei. And therefore, even according to this opinion that everything is, you know, all medications, everything is, all pills and all chametz processed is not roi l'achilas kelev, but a vitamin could be the bigger issue, even according to this more lenient view. Okay? Now, some argue, by the way, that there's no ach shevei on vitamins because it's like medication. That's probably what you were going to say.
I was saying that like some vitamins have so much of the whatever it is that you need to eat tons and tons of food to get that amount of
it. Okay, but the point is, I understand. But Lamaisa, it's for supplementation. It's for supplements. It's for nutrition. It's not for medication. So therefore, there is a certain ach shevei. However, some do hold, first of all, that vitamins is like medicine. There's no ach shevei. And second of all, there's another svara, which is a good svara, is that you're not really being ach shevei the chometz. Because the chometz usually is not the primary ingredient. It's not the active ingredient in these vitamins. Usually the chometz is the binder, or it's something to help the tablet. It's not the actual vitamin. So therefore, even if I'm ach shevei the vitamin, but I'm not ach shevei the chometz. Right? Because the chometz is not what's giving me the nutritional value. So therefore, it could be that there's no ach shevei on the chometz itself, which is a nice svara. So according to that, you know, the vitamins, you wouldn't have that issue. Okay? I don't remember who says what, but, you know. Well, we'll see. We get up to that. Okay. Now, Rav Moshe has a beferish tshuva that he seems to be pretty lenient on these things. Rav Moshe. Okay. He seems to be lenient. One tshuva is in Chelek Beis, Simen Tzadi Beis, where he says medication. There's no ach shevei medication. And Mamela, it's not a problem. And the other one is in Chela Gimel, Simon Samach Beis, where a Moshe says that you're allowed to use a Chela She'en Bei Sakana, is allowed to anoint himself or to smear a cream which has an Chametz. So it's a Beferish Tshuva in Ramosha. However, now comes what we're more familiar with, as in the Rabbi Blumenkrantz and Star K books, that have lists of kosher lePesach, medications, cosmetics, and stuff. So where does that come from? Well, what's going on with that? So first of all, it's interesting because there's a Star K article written in 2008, and it said, and it's very fascinating because he writes over there that this thing people think is a new mishagas. You know, Rabbi Blumenkrantz made it up, but really it's not true because they've dug up a Pesach guide to medication printed in Berlin in 1924. And it says over there, mamish, exactly the same thing as the Blumenkrantz list, basically. That medications that have chametz in them, alcohol, you have to be careful, and this is the list of kosher products, and whatever. So apparently it's a pretty old minhag that we used to be careful from this stuff, even the things which are not royal achilas kelef. The question is why? Everything we said till now seems to say that it should be motor. So there's a couple reasons given. One is chumra de Pesach, and don't ask questions. if you can avoid chametz in any which way, even if it's bottle, and even if it's not roi l'achila, and any which way that you can avoid chametz, avoid it, and that's it. We're not interested in dealing with chametz on Pesach. The Araya, we do a lot of other things to get rid of chametz from our possession, which has no shaykhis. We sit there getting rid of every crumb, right? Even though we've discussed that you don't have to. So, al tchum de Pesach, some people just don't use any of the products. Fine. Also, I saw Shmuel Kamenetsky says that since nowadays the lists are so easy to get, and you could just, the same difference between getting this thing and getting that thing, you may as well go with the list. That's what Shmuel Kamenetsky writes.
The app is $8.
Right. He says even if it costs extra money. But Lemaisa, you know, the list is available. But the shaila is there any makor in halacha to be machmer on it, besides Chomer the Pesach? So, and it's a long-standing minute. So Rabbi Blumenkrantz writes in the book over there a couple reasons, and then I saw in the Star K also a few reasons why. That one is that, which makes a lot of sense, is that do we really know if it's Nifsal L'Achilas Kelev? Like you said in the beginning. Did you ever try putting shampoo out for a dog and see if he eats it? I mean, how do we know that it's not, he's a weird zoologist, and we really know what animals, what dogs eat, what they don't eat? To make a blanket statement and say all cosmetics are not roi l'achilas kelev is a little bit of a presumptuous statement. How do you know that everything is not roi l'achilas kelev? Right? So
kelev in which state?
What?
One that lives here in the houses, you know, that's...
Right. And second of all, let's say they won't eat the shampoo. He says, is that because it's not good for them, or it doesn't taste good? Right? Sometimes you don't eat your wife's supper either. Doesn't mean it's not right lachila, right? So just because if the dog doesn't like the taste, right, doesn't mean that it's not right lachila. What does it mean right lachila? It means it's going to hurt the dog. So I remember there was a story with Rav Heinemann that Rav Heinemann used to tell people. Rav Heinemann used to tell people that get into the action of it. So Rav Heinemann used to tell people that they should. Douse their, if they get chametz on Pesach, if they find chametz on Pesach, so you douse it with bleach. So it makes it not roi l'achila. So he was all excited. Why? What happened one day? One day a guy had a loaf of bread or something that he doused with bleach. And he put it out, and the dog ate it and died. See, that is, I was right all these years that it's not roi l'achila skelet.
It was right after his
killing. What?
That's a lot.
The guy died.
Okay, but he still ate it.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? So the mice, so to say a blanket statement all creams, all cosmetics, all makeup, and all shampoos and soaps are not really like it's kind of mecha tesi. Okay, that's one taina, which you know is an interesting taina. Second taina is that you have to think about what happens. All these things that they use chametz for whatever reason they're using the chametz as a binder, they're using the chametz for starch, you know, it adds a starch so it makes it like a little, you know, thicker or whatever they're using the chametz for. It's true that the entire mixture, right, is not roi l'achila, l'achilas kalev. Even if you want to say it's not roi l'achilas kalev. But does that mean, is that because the chametz itself is not roi l'achilas kalev? Or is it because the chametz is mixed with all these other things, and therefore everything else around it is making it not roi l'achilas kalev? But the chametz itself could be still roi l'achilas kalev, to the point that maybe a chemist could go ahead and separate the chametz out.
Huh? How is that possible?
Why couldn't they?
It's a mixture that is so mixed together.
How they make it? Why couldn't they separate?
Right. If the chametz itself is roi l'achilas kalev, so then it could be that this is just a story that he writes. I'm not. I don't know. And the third one, I never heard of this before, but it's an interesting svara. Is that the whole svara of roi l'achilas kalev is only for something which is meant to be eaten by humans? It's meant to be a food which is consumed, and you're going ahead and making it that it's not even roi to be eaten by a dog. So then that makes it not chametz anymore. What about a food that was never intended to be eaten in the first place? The product was never, it's not like the shampoo spoiled. That's how they make shampoo. So therefore, this is chametz shampoo. It's not that it became, it's chametz cake that now is not edible anymore. It never lost its status. Now, I saw this svara in the Star K book and in Rabbi Blumenkern's book, and I don't really understand it because it's not a point of your intention. It's a point of the Matzias. The Matzias is that it's not roi l'achilas kalev. But that's a svara out there. There's another svara, which is also based in halacha, is that there's a question always on Yom Kippur, we know, and there's a question in a few other sugyas of sicha kishtia. Is there an what's with the halacha of anointing oneself with oil? The Gemara talks about, is a Yisrael, a non-Kohen, is he allowed to anoint himself with oil, which is truma? Right? Truma is only mutter to kahanim, and you can make oil, which is truma, right? You have olives, and you made the olives into truma, and you made oil out of it. So are you allowed to anoint yourself with that oil? So the Gemara is a shayla, sicha kishtia or not? It seems like midrabanan. We hold that sicha, anointing oneself, is like drinking because it's a form of ingesting the oil into your body. So la halacha, we do not hold of sicha kishtia. We don't hold that that's a problem. But there is a shita brought down in the Bir Halacha that sicha is kishtia, that anointing oneself is like consuming, and therefore on Pesach we're machmer for this opinion. And therefore, if it's like eating it, you'll have an achshave. Because if you hold that sicha is kishtia, now you're back to achshave, like we said before, that you're giving it a chashivas as chametz, and therefore you can't rely on the nifsal mechiel as kalev. Oh, so that's back to the other svar, that maybe there's no achshave on any of these things. But anyway, Lamaisa, it seems like, let me see, I didn't see Rav Shlomo Zalman, but it seems like that it is quite a long-standing minig, and since the stuff is available, you know, it could be just kedai to just find the kosher Pesach stuff. It doesn't mean that, you know, I wouldn't go so far as to say, you know, that you can't use the other stuff necessarily, or that you have to sell it with the chametz. But you know, if you can use the stuff which is on the list, like matov manoi, okay. Okay, now, if a person has a medication which is has chametz ingredients, and he needs, and this is his medication, and the doctor, there's no supplement, that's, you know, there's no chametz available, okay? So what should one do? Now, Rav Moshe said there's no achshavei on chametz, and if it's not roi lachila, lachila's kelev, so then, you know, there's no achshavei by medications, and therefore, if oh, fine. There's no actually been medication, so if it's not really lachilas kelev, it could be that you could take the medication. But let's just break it down. A person that's obviously a choyla sheyesh boy sakana, nothing to discuss, you got to take what you got to do, and that's it. A choyla sheyesh boy sakana, he's sick, but nothing's going to happen. He's not a sakana, okay? He's not in a matzav of sakana, but he, you know, he's got the flu, whatever it is, and he's taking this medication, and it has in it chametz. Okay, so the halacha is that a chayla she'ein boi sakana is allowed to swallow chametz to help himself get better in a way which is not the normal way of eating. It's not the normal way to consume the chametz. So therefore, swallowing chametz straight without chewing it is considered an abnormal way of eating, and therefore one is permitted in such a case that he's a chayla she'ein boi sakana, even if the chametz is roi lachila, he'll be allowed to swallow the whole chametz. He'll be allowed to swallow the pill with the chametz down, you know, because that's not the normal way to eat. Some people hold that that's the normal way to eat this pill. Some people say that you should, like, wrap it in something and then swallow it. Wrap it in, like, but I don't know what you're going to wrap it in. Some tissue paper? I mean...
But it follows the same, like, logic as before. The soap he's giving chashivas, that's the way, that's what it is.
Right. So, you know, but generally... But generally speaking, is that one would be allowed to swallow the pill even if. What?
Why does it need to be doing that?
I'm saying even if it's roi lachila, chometz.
As long as it's done in an abnormal way, you can eat something which is roi lachila.
If you're choyla.
Even if it's shein bo sakana?
Yeah. A choyla shein bo sakana is allowed to eat chometz in an abnormal way if it's helping him get better.
Why does it have to be done on the shin just to show that he doesn't...
No, because otherwise it's an issur d'rabbanan. You have to eat it in an abnormal way, otherwise it's chametz. You're not allowed to eat chametz. It's just because you're sick.
You're still eating it, even if you're doing it.
No, so that's also in d'rabbanan only.
What about what you said with Rav Moshe says that...
No, so I'm talking about chametz, which is roi l'achila. I'm saying even a pill, let's say you say the chametz is roi l'achila, it's flavored or whatever, it's roi l'achila. Still, you'll be allowed to swallow it whole, you know, in such a scenario. However, if you're choyla she'ein bei sakana and there's chametz in there, in the medication, and it's a chewable tablet, or it's liquid medication, so that you should avoid. Because that, you know, you're drinking it the regular way or you're chewing it, that should be avoided, and that should be only in a case where that should only be done if there's a sakana, or, you know, you should try to get the supplement. If you can't get the supplement, then you should try to eat it in a way that's going to be not keder achila, which would be that, you know, some sort of substitute, or let's say crush it up and what?
If you have a cream, you know, which is really achila.
If it's cream, it's roi lachila, you should not use it.
Why can't you just do it in an abnormal way? The same way you can
do it. No. It's not putting it on an abnormal way. It's getting it into your body and not the way it's supposed to get into your body. You can't drink the pill. You can't chew the chametz with your left hand. Put it in your left hand. It has to be that goes down the abnormal way.
Is it applying the cosmetics in an abnormal way?
No, that's not going to help. No, that's not going to help. It's still absorbing it, and it's absorbing it in the regular way.
Absorption is
right. So a person who has a cream which is roi lachila, that should taka be avoided. You know, unless he's a choyla she'ein by sakana. Yeah, if he's a choyla she'ein by sakana, no. Rav Moshe here is talking about that it's not roi lachila. Okay, so that's the general principles. All right, fine. So I think any questions? We pretty much covered that, no? Yeah, so syrup medication, you should rather get kosher. You should try to see that it's on the list. Because a lot of those things, the chametz about them is like this alcohol stuff, first of all. And also, you're drinking it in the regular way. You know, it's better to try to avoid if you can. No, but also they're not right lachila. They have cherry flavors and zachem. Yeah, a real medication. I don't know Moshe himself would hold about it, but now some say the cherry medication, the cherry flavor doesn't do anything because after they pasteled everything lachila, they added on sugar on it. That doesn't mean anything. But lemaisa afal pikein, you know, it's better. It seems like it's better to try to avoid this.
The blood pressure that you have to take every day.
So you should see what's on the list. If it's a pill that you swallow, you know. Yeah, but you should see if it's on the list. If it's not on the list, see if there's a supplement on the list. And if there's no supplement on the list, then swallow it whole. Okay, Shkoya.